Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA. If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255.
Hey, let's see if we remember how to do this. I think it's Paul and Frank. Am I correct?
That is. It is. It's been a while.
I think that's the first time we've been off 2 weeks in a row since we started this show.
I agree. I think so. Not Paul, but, you know, you and I, Steve.
No, your record is staying in the country for the first time in 13 years.
Yeah, oh, exactly. God. So true. So true.
Hey, at least we're all wearing masks today. You have to just to stay warm. Boy, it's a little chilly out.
Boy. Yeah, it's going to be a cold one. I'm actually heading to the cottage after this to skate on the river. So we'll see how cold I get.
Oh, is the river all frozen up already?
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
You remember how to skate?
Well, hopefully I'm going to forget my skate so I don't have to skate. The last time I actually went skating with my son, we were skating on the canal, and he looked at me, he's like, "You played pro hockey?" One time I could skate. Yes, I could.
Yes. Hey, Steve, you've been replaced, by the way, on, you know, I guess your Facebook account got hacked, right, back in the summer. So everybody's missing the extra minutes of Mike Carchetto, our good loyal listener. Mike Carchetto has taken over doing it on a daily basis for you.
There you go. See, I knew somebody would step up.
Yep. So thank you, Mike.
All right. Before we get into the new year, let's take a look at December and cap off last year, seeing that we weren't around the last couple of weeks. First of all, December, Paul.
Yeah, December was exactly what we expected. The number of sales was down 13.5%. The average sale price was up 15.8%. But interestingly enough, it was only capped at $615,000, which is way down from where we were. But if you look at year to date, keep in mind at one point in March, I believe we're up 50% number of sales. We ended the year up 7.1%. So we're only up 7% for number of sales. But keep in mind, our last 6 months of the year really dragged that number down because we went down pretty hard with number of sales because there was no inventory. The average sale price at one point was up 30%. We finished the year up 22%, which is still drastic. In the last 2 years, we've gone up 42%. So it's the average sale price is still skyrocketing. I mean, we finished last year in 2020, we finished at $529,000. This year we finished at 645. So, and at the height was in June, we were at 659. So we came down a little bit, which was expected. But we're seeing, you know, to start the year, we're seeing a very, very, very slow start to the year. And when I tell you how many homes are actually on the market, you'll be absolutely shocked.
Hey, Paul, that number, by the way, Paul, is reflective of, you know, I think in the summer there were more higher priced homes selling. And that number comes down, not, you know, I've had clients say my house value, I think, has come down the last 3 or 4 months. And I say that's not necessarily true. When you look at the average, you know, there were months where $2 million, $3 million homes sold. And then there's months when they don't sell. So therefore, that brings the average down. Am I correct? Or have houses actually come down in value?
No, I wouldn't say they've come down in value. I just think there's less on the market right now. There's a huge, huge appetite for homes that are completely renovated, which was a change from the start of the year. At the start of the year, you could be a dog and you could hit the market. You're going to sell. The end of the year, like if your house, I mean, I saw so many feedbacks that said, yeah, too much work to be done. A lot of painting.
Wow.
Really? Like, you know, whereas the first start of the year, it would have been, you know, house is disgusting, but I'm bringing you an offer anyways, you know? So it was the mentality changed a little bit in the second half. And then we went through a phase where there was just nothing on the market. So buyers kind of just took themselves out of the woodwork because they couldn't find anything to buy. And now, you know, to start the year, how many homes do you think are active right now in the market, the city?
800.
1,000.
739. That's all there is. But guess how many rentals there are in the market?
700,000.
731. So there's just as many rentals on the market as there are homes for sale. There's 739 for sale, 731 for rent. And when I look at the three big areas of the Orleans, Kanata, and Barrhaven, there's two times the amount of homes for rent in Orleans. There's 4.7 times the amount for rent in Barrhaven and 3.4 times the amount of rent in Kanata. There's 203 rentals in those three areas and 63 homes for sale. 63 wow. homes for sale. So my message to anybody who's thinking of selling their home, do it now. Get on the market, get on the market, get on the market. And then I have buyers who are saying, well, should we hold off till more homes hit the market? Well, Frank will tell you, you can hold off if you want, but interest rates are going up. So you might as well not hold off and get in the market now. Every 1% that the interest rate goes up, you lose 10% of your buying power. So get your home on the market and start purchasing properties. Now's the time.
Ooh, he came to play. He came to play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Well, I've been off for 3 weeks, guys. I came to play. I've been saving up this pent-up, you know, anger for this point right now.
Hey, those sales last year ended up a lot more money, about $3 billion more than the year before, right?
Yeah, I think the number was
13.1, I think.
Yeah, $13.1 billion in sales volume compared to $10 billion in 2020. That's a lot. That's 30% more in sales volume than there was, which tells you a couple things. One, obviously the number of sales was up a little bit, but the price is skyrocketed. So that's why the sales volume was up so much. But $13 billion
tells you three things. Frank made a whole lot of money last year.
Yeah.
Well, I think the industry as a whole did well. I mean, despite all the ups and downs we've had with COVID, I think as a whole, the housing industry, whether it's on the real estate side or on the mortgage side or lawyers, so many lawyers shut down the second week of December. They were just exhausted. They couldn't do anymore. They needed that 2 or 3 week break just to recharge their batteries. So I think across the industry, we've had a great last 18 months, 24 months, despite, again, all the ups and downs and the shutdowns. And it started off a little slow this year, but only because, let's face it, nobody expected, after a lot of us getting double vaccinated and another bunch of us having triple vaccinated, that we're locked down again. So that being said, I can tell you, Paul, that I had a client last week who was bidding on a house in Carp, and it was a smaller house listed for more than what a bigger house went for in the summer, and somehow that house sold for something like $250,000 over list. So there is some craziness out there still, but Paul's right. I mean, if you're looking to buy a house now, I think you might end up in a bidding war because there's so little inventory out there and the buyers are out there. And you're right. Rates are going up and have trended upwards. Even though we saw a little bit of a flattening in December, the bond market somehow this week has gone up about 0.25 percentage point. So we're not far away from banks raising their fixed rates again sometime in the next week, unless we see a downward spiral in bond markets.
You know, Frank, one of the things you said at the start of that, which I totally agree with, you said, Paul, you were right. So I just wanted to point that out. I just want to point that out for one. And two, I do want to change some things that I talked about in October, November, December, where I thought that the average sale price would be a little bit flat, maybe go up 2 to 4%. And I'm going to change those predictions now just from the feeling I get coming into 2022. I think we're going to have a very robust start to the year. Wow. I really do. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a 2 to 4%. I think our January started off a little bit slow, but like Frank said, we are seeing those bidding wars again. I think what we might see potentially is a mini version, but a mini version of what we saw in 2021. Maybe not as crazy, but I have a feeling unless homes start pouring on the market, I mean, we're less than 1 month supply on the market right now. So unless homes start pouring on the market, we're going to see bidding wars again, and we're going to see a very, very active market.
You know, basically, this January is a carbon copy of last January. You know, we're locked down again. We're going through the whole thing again. It's, you know, we thought this was all done. So who knows what's going to happen in the market? When in January last year did it really start to pick up, Paul?
It usually always starts in mid-January. But last year, I felt it even in December. I felt that this December of the year before, I felt that. No one predicted what we were going to do in March, you know, in Jan, Feb, March, April, May. No one could have predicted that. But I felt this pent up, like people just wanting to dive into the market. And I'm slowly starting to feel that again in 2022. And I know I've been saying I've had low expectations of 2022 because I can't see this average sale price keep skyrocketing like it is. But I don't know. I'm feeling a very robust 2022. So I think if you're looking to sell your house, I wouldn't be waiting. You're going to have a lot of competition on the market coming soon. I'd get your house on the market now before the competition comes. Get your price and get out. I mean, I looked in some areas this morning. I mean, I looked in Orleans for somebody. There was two homes on the market, two. So you have no competition, none, you know, and I looked residential and condo. So like, get your home on the market. If you want to get it sold and you think it's time to wait, don't wait. Don't wait. Get it on.
Hey, Paul, I know we're going to go on break here, Steve, but let's talk about maybe after the break. If there's all these rentals that are available, maybe it's time for some of those owners. And I know you like people to keep their doors, but they've maximized their profit. And realistically, unless they bought them a few years ago, if they just bought them, the mortgage payment probably will exceed what the rental income that they get is. So maybe it's a good time to cash out for some people.
When we come back, I want to find out if you should buy a house for less than $1 million.
Yeah.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. To follow up on Frank's question, what are we doing, Paul? Getting rid of all of our rental properties?
Well, you know what? Like Frank said before the break, I'm not a big fan of unloading doors. However, I do potentially see the rental prices coming down a little bit because the competition, the supply is so much. If you're someone who's sort of, you know, sick of holding investment properties, sick of being a landlord, maybe you've already maxed out and you're near the end of your game. It's not a bad idea. I would never tell someone to sell a rental property, but you know, if you're struggling to get a tenant and you're, you know, I looked at the market and, you know, just in, you know, Barrhaven alone, there's 80 homes for rent or 80 townhomes or homes for rent. That's a lot. That's a ton of competition. So if you're someone who's not getting a renter, you've been vacant for a few months, and you're not even a fan of being a landlord, you've maximized your price. Depending on when you bought it, you've maximized your price. Maybe it's time to unload your investment property.
Well, rental competition is so high, but if you're selling it, there is no competition right now.
There's none. You know, you look at that 80 rentals in Barrhaven, 17 homes for sale. That's it, 17. So, you know, if you're looking to sell and you have a rental property, you are definitely going to hit a home run.
All right, who's vacuuming?
That's Dad.
I know.
Is that your mom?
Yes, it is.
It's the beauty of doing this show, Steve, from home. Like, I'm waiting for my dog to bark, for my son to walk down the stairs. It's the beauty of doing it from home.
All right, so we're going to have a new contest on the show, Track the Vac. Whenever Frank's mother starts the vacuum cleaner, you win a prize.
She's probably again, she had, back in the kitchen.
You know what? She had major surgery, so the fact that she's doing that is incredible. The fact that I just told her, I said, shh.
Apparently, she needs some attention, Frank.
She does, yeah.
Hey, what do you guys think of the study now on proposing a tax on million-dollar homes, million-dollar plus? They're talking, at least the proposal is, that you would tax the place anywhere from 0.5% to a full percentage point per year, and then you'd have to pay that when you sold.
Let's just start with, will we stop with the taxes? We're taxed enough already.
Yep.
Stop it already. The issue with housing isn't taxing. The issue with housing is there's not enough supply. So deal with the supply issue. Stop with the taxing. Stop with that. Listen, you want to stop foreign buyers from buying? I totally agree, 100%. You want to put a rule in place where they can't even buy, never mind the tax. Just stop them from buying. That's okay. But do not start taxing hardworking Canadians who have acquired real estate and have done it legitimately by working hard. And now they own it. Now you're trying to tax them even more because we've got a supply issue. If we have a supply issue, deal with the supply issue. Stop adding taxes to everything that we do. That's not the answer. That's not going to help anyone.
This absolutely pains me, but Frank, you're so right. This pains me to say it, but I 100% agree with
you. You guys must have missed each other.
Wow. Jeez.
So if you can afford $1 million home, it means you've done something right in life. You've afforded a million dollar home. Why get taxed on it? Like, I agree with Frank. It's not the taxing that we need to do to slow down the housing market. It's the supply issue. Get builders shovels in the ground. That's the biggest thing we can do to increase this supply, is allow builders to build. I know I was talking to my real estate coach about this the other day, and I'm like, what's it like in the States for red tape to get shovels in the ground? He's like, oh, it's easy. We just put shovels anywhere and just start building everywhere. And I was like, yeah, not here. We need everything from permits to approvals to plans to this to that. And just the builders can't build, they just can't build fast enough right now. And unless we can alleviate that and increase our supply, we're going to be in trouble here. We're already in trouble with less than 1,000 homes on the market. We're in trouble right now. We need homes.
Yeah.
Not to mention the bonus to the economy. If we have all these tradespeople working, we are buying supplies, we are putting so many people to work. If we're building more homes, I don't understand why there's a tax here. A tax is not getting people out to work. Building more homes gets people out, and that's what helps our economy. And if we really, really, really want to support our economy, including our small restaurants, our small businesses that are being locked down yet again, our gyms, that's what we do. We make build bigger communities, which in turn creates more jobs and helps these small businesses get over this hump that they've that they're always the ones that are being penalized. And I think, again, they need to address the supply issue sooner rather than later.
Tell you,
across
this,
all governments.
This sure seems to me like the Fed's trying to stick their nose in different ways to try and get their dime out of municipal money, out of home ownership, which they don't have a piece of yet.
But they make more money. Like every time that somebody works, they make money. Every time there's more employment, there's taxes, income tax. They're getting tax revenue. All they have to do is just get more houses going, and that creates the employment, and as a result, these people that are working are going to small businesses, supporting small businesses.
Yeah.
And guess what happens when you buy something in a small business? You pay tax. You're getting revenue. It multiplies all the way along.
Well, first of all, a million dollar home, you're paying a heck of a lot of municipal taxes. You know, you're paying land transfer taxes when you buy the place. You're being taxed on hydro and heat. I mean, there's a lot of money coming out of the fact that somebody has a $1 million home, and a $1 million home is not an extravagant home anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're looking at Vancouver and Toronto, a $1 million home is a rundown shack. It really is. It's a rundown shack. And when you look here in Ottawa, you're right, Steve, a $1 million home is not that, you know, that huge extravagant palace that it used to be. I mean, a $1 million home, I've seen homes in suburbia with just 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom, 2,800 square feet going for $1 million. That's not an extravagant home. And so there's a lot more $1 million homes than we think of. Like, there's a ton of $1 million homes. And this would really affect the Torontos and the Vancouvers for sure.
Yeah.
It would crush Vancouver and Toronto. It really would. I mean, imagine the taxes that people are going to have to pay on those homes.
And worse than that, it opens the federal door. Once that door is open, there's no going back.
No, never closes.
Nope.
Never. Never. They'll never take that back.
Hey, Frank, with rates seemingly going up sooner than later and may continue to go up, right, over the next 2-3 years, at least that's what's forecast. If you have a rental property right now, do you think there's going to be a glut of them for sale in the next 2-3 years?
Before it's hard to say. I mean, people, you know, but anybody that's bought a property in the last 2-3 years, they're up so much that they're, some of them are willing to accept the fact that, you know, they might have a shortfall on the cash flow side. So that's the challenging part. But, you know, do I think that some people are going to sell them? Of course. I mean, you know, most people go into a rental hoping to be pretty neutral on the cash flow. But if their mortgage comes up in 2 years and all of a sudden their payment goes up by $400 or $500 and their rental income is virtually the same, that may sway them to say maybe it's time to unload the rental property and just cash out. So, but there's tax implications in that as well. So,
yeah. See, just before we go to break, 20,302 homes sold last year. How many were over $1 million?
What percent?
Or just, no, not even percent. How many do you think?
Out of 20,000, I would say in Ottawa area?
In Ottawa.
I'd say 500.
Almost 1,800 homes over $1 million.
Wow.
Sold last year in Ottawa. Almost 10% of all the homes in Ottawa were over $1 million.
Wow.
Wow, look at all that federal money they could be getting.
Exactly.
Well, they did. They did. Well, the provincial got money. It's called land transfer tax, which is provincial. So,
and just before we go to the break, speaking of the feds, Frank, do you realize we created 55,000 new jobs in December?
Unbelievable. I can't wait to see the numbers next month with the lockdown. If there's jobs created, then we know it's a hoax. Yeah.
That would be Christmas jobs, though, I'm guessing.
I would think so. A lot of the retail jobs, for sure.
But those stats are pretty accurate.
Hold on. Frank's phone's ringing now.
No, my mom and dad's phone is ringing because they still have a home phone for some reason.
Frank, is this show interrupting your life right now?
Oh, my God. I just texted my sister. I said, never again.
So you're at your parents' house now. This is the deal,
I'm looking after my mom. My mom needs a caretaker because my dad had surgery this week, and he's in the hospital right now. So it's been hard on our family for sure.
Something Frank told me this morning, actually. His dad's almost 90 or 90?
80. He's going to be 90 in March. And for the first time on Wednesday night, he spent a night in the hospital. He unfortunately got diagnosed with colon cancer on Tuesday, and they did surgery on him on Thursday. So
that's good. They got him
in recovery.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He's in recovery.
First time. That's amazing.
First time.
That's
amazing.
Incredible. All right, we're going to take a break. So, Frank, you can tell your mother she can vacuum for a little while.
All right.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back with Paul Rushforth and Frank Napolitano. Frank reading articles about people rushing for pre-approvals. Are you seeing that?
We are seeing that. We're seeing that people want to lock in the rate. I think people are seeing the fact that rates are on the rise likely throughout the year. And, for anybody that got a pre-approval in the fall, good idea to go back and get it reinstated for another 4 months and lock in the rate now so that you've got it, which will take you until, right now it'll take until the middle of May sometime, beginning of May. So hopefully the inventory improves and there's houses out there for you with your closing date set. We're lucky enough that we're big enough as a brokerage that we've had a few occasions where customers' closing dates have been pushed back, and we're fortunate enough that we were able to secure the rates for them for an extra. We can go to lenders and ask them for an extra 15 or 30 days should that happen, but it's on an exception basis. But we've been lucky enough so far because of our size that the lenders have gone ahead and done it for us. But boy, I mean, again, in these cases, their customers, when the rate was 1.89, which was 4 months ago, so we were able to lock in those rates, where today those rates are 0.5% higher when it comes to high ratio purchase. So, that meant a lot for those customers. And unfortunately, it was out of their hands where COVID came in and their closing date got pushed back by a couple of weeks. But we were able to get those exceptions for them.
It's funny, people don't even realize how much the rates have snuck up, eh? Like we were talking, four months ago, where you could get a 5-year fixed for like 1.7, 1.89. Yeah.
Yeah. 1.79, 1.89.
Yeah. They don't realize how quickly the rates have snuck up. And there was an article, I always find the media is always behind everything, right? There was an article the other day that said, oh, you better start buying now because the rates are going to start going up. They're already going up. They're already up, and they're going to go up even more. So I say right now, there's no inventory. Get your home on the market and sell it. The rates are going up. Get in the market and buy something because the rates are going up. And I mentioned earlier, every 1% it goes up, you lose 10% of your buying power. It's already gone up 1%. How much more is it going to go up?
Yeah, you're right. We're not that far off. I mean, at this time last year, you can get a 5-year insured mortgage at 1.54, 1.59. Today, you're in the 2.34 to 2.49 range. So we're almost up 1 full percentage point in less than 12 months.
So what are you telling people with variable right now, Frank?
Again, variable is still attractive. And, we've got a lender this week that came out, and again, they want some variable rate business. Prime minus 1.3%.
Wow.
Wow.
So on a high ratio purchase. So therefore, you're at 1.15% to start off with. So again, if you're going to compare it to a 5-year fixed, that same lender is about 2.39 on a 5-year fixed. You're already 1.25% ahead. So prime would have to go up 5 times 0.25%. Just to put that into context, when our economy was humming before COVID hit, the prime rate was 3.95, which is 1.5% more than it is today. So if you're 1.25% ahead, you know, realistically, you're better off to take a variable in that circumstance. Now, what I recommend you do is that you try to set your payments as if you're on a fixed rate, so that as prime does start to go up, you know, you've already set your payment up. But, you know, at the end of the day, for some people, they need a fixed. They just want peace of mind. They don't want to worry about it for 5 years. But for other people, if you really do the math, I think you might be financially ahead by taking a variable as long as you're comfortable with it.
So you would get that deal for 5 years, right, Frank?
5-year variable, yeah, which means you can lock in at any time. By the way, this lender doesn't have posted rates like the banks do. They only have discounted rates. So if you really, really, really got nervous and wanted to lock in, your rate would probably be pretty favorable. But, you know, the likelihood is, I always say to clients, if you start off with a variable, you're likely going to stay in a variable for the entire 5-year period. About 70% of Canadians do not lock in at any time during the variable rate. So because you'll see that when you call in to lock in, you'll see that there's a 1.25% spread. And it's kind of foolish to give up that 1.25% unless you truly believe the prime rate's going to go up really aggressively by that much in a short period of time.
And if prime goes up 1.5%, how long a period of time would that be over?
I would say best case scenario or worst case scenario would be a year and a half. Best case scenario, it might take 3 years. I mean, COVID's not going away anytime soon. We're vaccinated. We're all going to get a fourth booster. There's talk about already probably a fifth booster later on this year. It's not going away. Now, the shutdown should go away. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, despite what the job market says, it doesn't feel like we're back to where we were in February or March of 2020. It does not feel anything like that right now. So, and then, of course, employers now got to pivot and see whether they're going to continue to entertain people working from home or people going back to the office. And that impacts downtown. Look at the downtown cores of Ghost Town. I don't know what the buyword market is like this morning, Paul or Steve, but I'm betting it's pretty quiet down there.
It is pretty quiet. So how many
businesses have changed hands in the last 18 months, 20 months?
Yeah, not to mention how slow construction is now, too.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Steve, the breakfast spot that I always pay for breakfast for Frank, is that still humming
along?
It's
still there. It's still there, yeah.
It's surviving without my money every Saturday? My God.
I wouldn't know.
Thank God.
I haven't been there in so long.
Yeah. Thank God. Like, they weren't relying on your money because they're still up and running.
Well, the good news is Frank's at his parents' place, so there's two kitchens for him to make breakfast for you, Paul.
There is. Yes, there is.
There we go.
So are you thinking that in the next week, 2 weeks, you're going to see listings start to climb, Paul?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, you know, the way Christmas and New Year's fell, I think usually the week after, which is the one we kind of just went on, I think that, you know, it's always going to be a quiet week. Kids were supposed to be getting back to school. Now they're into homeschooling. So now it's parents, you know, trying to get them on the homeschooling train. And now I think things are going to get back to normal a little bit. I think we might start seeing homes hit the market. You know, before, when we went through wave number 1, 2, and 3, especially 1 and 2, there's people nervous to allow you in their home. It's not like that anymore. I don't think there's as many, and I take this with a grain of salt, but I don't think there's as many people worried about COVID as it used to be. I think, you know, people were really scared of catching COVID before. People are still, but I'm not downplaying it. But I think we've seen people survive it. I mean, I'm a survivor, but I had it over Christmas. I'm a survivor of COVID. And I think that I know lots of people that are now. So I think it's just starting to now deal with this new variant and push forward and pivot and transition.
Plus, you still got the safety measures in place that you've had all along, right?
Of course. Yeah. In fact, it's just like second nature now. And in fact, let's say, I know it's never going to end, but let's say COVID ended tomorrow. I think we're still going to act like COVID's in the world. You know, I think the way we sanitize, the way we clean, the way we social distance, the way we, you know, the lack of hugging, I think that's going to be probably a new norm, you know, going forward. And maybe it should have been the norm before COVID, to be honest with you.
Actually, a lot of your friends are happy about that lack of hugging.
Our open house is a thing of the past, Paul?
No, they are. They're off right now. They're not allowed right now because of the shutdown. But open houses, I don't think, will ever be a thing of the past. I do believe that open houses are an effective way, not to get the home sold, but an effective way to get the home exposed. Yeah. You know, the chance of someone coming through the door to an open house and buying it is less than 1%. So they're not effective in that way. But the reason we would hold an open house is mainly just to expose the home. We want people talking. A lot of people say, I don't want my nosy neighbors coming through. Really? Because nosy neighbors have people that like to live in this area too with them. So nosy neighbors are the perfect people you want through there. So, but no, to answer your question, Frank, I don't think open houses will ever go away. Even though I don't think we've done one in ages because of COVID, but yeah.
Less of them though last year, wasn't there? Wasn't there less of them last year?
Yeah, there was a lot less open houses. I mean, I don't have the stat in front of me, but I'm sure that it was probably 50% less, maybe something like that.
Hey, your window.
Yeah, I remember, driving every neighborhood, and man, there'd be dozens of signs, open house on Saturday, Sunday. And now I saw some this year, but you're right. I mean, hardly any. I mean, so few of them.
Yeah.
Your window is
and in the second half of the year.
Your window's getting shorter and shorter to show homes, especially with homeschooling now. Hey, Paul, there's a lot of people that can't get out of their house to show them now.
You know what, though? We tell people if you're selling your home, I've always said this, if you're selling your home, it's not your home anymore. Yeah. You have to deal with it. And if you cancel a showing, you're making a mistake. So I don't care if you're homeschooling or not homeschooling. Get out of your house if you're showing your house, if you want to get it sold. But it is. It's more difficult. Absolutely, it's more difficult. But
yeah, there's a workaround, right? You just don't show the house during... when the homeschooling
school hours.
Yeah.
There is a workaround, but you also have to pivot and find a way to still do that homeschooling and show your home. Maybe it's, you're going to your parents' house, you're going to your kid's house. You're doing something in order to allow that buyer to see the home, because most likely a buyer, if they're looking at your home, they're looking at 2, 3, 4, 5 in the area as well. Cancel that showing, they're not going to come back for one showing. They're going to just eliminate your home. So I strongly suggest never cancel a showing ever.
521-TALK, 521-8255. Start that vacuum. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. Paul, I know you say never to sell doors, but if you've got a rental market that's about 50% of what's going on in MLS right now, and there's like virtually no listings, is now not the time to capitalize on that investment?
Well, like I said earlier, Steve, it all depends on what your goal is. I mean, if you're someone that is sort of sick of being a landlord, you're having some problems with your tenants, it's just not your appetite, then yeah, I mean, there's no better time. I mean, the market has skyrocketed. There's nothing on the market. You're going to get a great dollar for your property. But if you're someone who has properties and you have a great appetite for investments and you're okay being a landlord, I still would not sell it. I wouldn't, but it all depends on your end game. You know, what stage of life you're at, or you're a little bit older and you're sick of being a landlord. It just depends on what stage of life you're in.
As rates go,
you know what, Paul, I had a couple of clients last year, that sold their rental properties only because it allowed them, the value gone up so much that even after they took their tax capital gains into consideration, it gave them enough equity out of that property that they paid off their own house mortgage and were now mortgage free. They said, one of them said at least 15 years before they planned on being mortgage free. And the other one said 7 or 8 years before being mortgage free. So, you know, again, it opened up that door for them. It was a wise investment. They didn't mind being landlords, they said, but, you know, there's always a time to cash out. And for them, they still have, the one that said 10, 15 years, they still have 10 or 15 years of work ahead of them where their income is at a really good pace and they're mortgage free. So now they could start enjoying their life and maybe traveling a little bit more once we're out of this COVID stuff.
Yeah, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I talked before, the almost like the day the pandemic hit, I closed on a townhome in Orleans for $390. And I remember telling you guys, I thought, oh, damn, I paid way too much, $390 in Orleans for an investment property. And that townhome, I would have thought right now would have been worth around, if the market didn't go insane, I would have thought it would be worth around $450 at this point right now. In actual fact, it's worth about $650, $675. So, so that's something where I have probably $200,000 more in equity in that than I ever thought I was going to have at this point. And if I'm at the point right now where I need to cash in, I need a little money, would like to pay off my house, wants to go on a vacation, whatever, it would be a prudent move to actually sell that townhome because I've maximized that townhome. Is it going to go up more? Absolutely it is. But is it going to go up another $200,000-$300,000 in the next 2-3 years? No, it's not. So if someone, you need the money, it's a great time to do it, especially with the perfect storm of, you know, nothing on the market, pent up buyer demand, you know, you're going to get a top dollar for it. You're probably going to get a bidding war for it. So if there's, if you're thinking it's in your mind to sell, now is the absolute best time to get your house on the market.
What do you think is going to happen with investors over the next year or 2 years as interest rates go up? If you're already cash flow negative now, it's going to be a tough sell, isn't it?
Really is. Like I said, when the mortgage comes up for maturity, if all of a sudden you go from being $100, you know, in the red, then all of a sudden that number changes to $400 or $500, it makes you rethink whether it's worthwhile to keep that investment. So,
but I'm talking new business, again, Frank, like new business the next 2-3 years.
There's no question. I mean, we're talking about people that have owned rental properties for the last 2 or 3 years, and they're so much further ahead on the equity side. Their cash flow may not be great, but on the equity side, they're further ahead. But buying an investment property now is extremely difficult because unless you've got, you know, a good significant down payment that you're not borrowing, which doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, even your accountant will tell you, if you've got equity in your home, instead of putting the cash against the against purchasing the investment property, you're better off to pay down your mortgage and then borrow from your existing home and use that as a down payment towards the rental property because you get to write off the interest. But you have to then accept the fact that you're going to have a negative cash flow on a monthly basis. And that's hard for some people to deal with because most people don't want to make an investment where they have to throw out $200, $300, $400 a month. That doesn't make sense for them.
The only time it makes sense is if the appreciation is going up faster than what you're losing. Meaning, you know, like if you're buying in an area where your cash flow negative, but your home is going up, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $70,000 every year, that's not a bad investment. But if you're in an area where you're buying and it's very stagnant and you're also losing money on that investment. So more, it's so important right now to work with someone who knows investment properties and knows areas, because you have to find the right diamond in order to find that, maximize that investment. And you there's a lot of investments out there that you're going to be, you know, upset with if you do buy it. So make sure you're working with someone who knows what they're doing when it comes to investment properties.
Hard to find duplex, triplex now?
Not hard. You're just going to pay for it. But, you know, one of the only ways I believe in this market to make money is having more doors under one roof. So buying the simple townhome right now, you're most likely going to be cash flow negative with a simple townhome. How can you be cash flow positive? Duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes. That's the way you're most likely going to be cash flow positive. You're going to spend more. You know, I was working with someone, you know, about a year, year and a half ago in sort of like the Hindenburg, the downtown, the Glebes and stuff like that. And things were starting at $1 million. So, I mean, don't think you're getting a great deal on a duplex or a triplex right now. I mean, the prices have skyrocketed on those as well, but it's the only chance to be cash flow positive is to have more doors under one roof.
Any trick you're getting?
The answer is the outskirts, though, still, eh, Paul?
What's that?
The answer still might be the outskirts, right? So, well, where, you know, you might be able to find duplexes or triplexes at, you know, more reasonable prices. Listen, they still got up. You look at some of the outskirt towns, you know, we talk about the core of the city, but you look at the outskirt towns and what's happened with real estate, it's even higher than what we see in Ottawa in some of the little towns. But they've got those duplexes, triplexes, which might be $700,000 or $800,000 instead of $1.2 million. But your rent is a little less, but they're still much more cash flow neutral than the ones in Ottawa would be.
Absolutely. And there's more people looking for rentals than there are rentals in the outskirts of Ottawa. So, I mean, that's a great advice, Frank, is yeah, buying in, you know, if you're looking west, you're looking at Empire, Pakenham, Mississippi Mills, like those areas. East, you're looking at Embrun, Limoges. Those areas, there's great investments in those areas. There's lots of builders that are actually building purpose-built duplexes now in some of these areas as well. So if you can find something in the outskirts, yes, you're going to pay less. You're going to get less in rent, but you're going to pay less. So it might allow you to get into the rental market and still be cash flow positive.
But you could almost double your rent compared to a townhome in Ottawa as an investment, no?
Double it in what? If you're
on the outskirts with a duplex, then you've got the cash flow coming in, because a townhome in Ottawa, you just said, is $650,000, right?
Well, easily, yeah. Yeah, you're looking at $650,000, so, some closer to suburbia, some closer to $700,000.
Yeah.
Hard to be. And what are you getting for rent? You're getting anywhere from $2,000 to $2,300 in rent. So that's not covering your mortgage right now. It's coming close, but by the time you got your, you know, your taxes and all that, it's not really covering your mortgage. Whereas you buy a duplex, triplex, or something in the outskirts, you're most likely covering your mortgage with those rental payments.
And they'll only go up.
They'll only go up. That's right.
And Lord knows how much it's going to go up in the next 3 months. You think it's going to be pretty good, eh, Paul?
I do now. I do. I changed my thought. But you know what? I could be telling you something different next week. So who knows, to be honest with you.
Well, this is why I tune in.
Yeah. It's just such a fluid market. We never know what's going to happen. I just have a feeling, though, it's going to be a little bit more robust than what I've predicted.
Well, I mean, where the situation we're in, like I said, is a carbon copy of last year, almost to the T.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as crazy as last year, though. It can't. We can't go up another 20% this year. I mean, we've gone up 42% in the last 2 years. Another 20%, that would put us in bubble territory.
No, but we could see a lot of action.
Well, we could. We could, yeah. We could see a lot of action. I just want to see homes hit the market. We need activity right now. Right now, we're working with buyers. We're like, sorry, we're not sending you any properties. There's just nothing to send you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Birthdays, Frank.
I got a few since I've been away for 3 weeks, but
here we go.
Here we go.
The start of this a half hour ago.
Tracy Enright and Karen McLeish from our company celebrating their birthdays this week. Happy birthday to them. My nephews, Paolo and Claudio Violante, celebrating their birthdays. And my little cousin, Adamo Flores, celebrating his birthday, along with his dad celebrating his birthday today, Renee. So happy birthday to them. There you go. That wasn't so bad.
I have a couple. Angie White, who's my amazing office manager. Celebrated 11 years with the company on the 3rd of January.
Another Mercedes.
Jocelyn White, who's my operations manager and the backbone of my company. She had her birthday on the 5th. And Josh Batley, who's done the show for me before and is doing the show for me when I'm in Mexico, his birthday is on the 10th. So happy birthday, Josh.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, everybody. Well, how do we get a hold of you? Frank N at MortgageBrokersOttawa.com. Paul at PaulRushford.com. Good to see you, boys.
Good to see you, too.
Happy New Year. Great way to start the year, guys. And please, especially now again, continue to support local businesses and charities.
Yes,
absolutely. They need all the help.
Stay in, take out.
You got it.
Have a good week.
You got it.